You are listening to a podcast of Slovnaft Company.
Hello, my name is Eva Lakešová, and here we again with Andrei Jurica. Hi, Andrei.
Hi, everyone.
And well, so this is one of the last podcasts that we are recording for you, and I'm really, really happy because we are going to talk about a wonderful feeling today, which is nothing else as self-compassion. So we have already heard about self-compassion, or at least you had a chance to read a few articles on this topic within the MOL group during springtime 2020 when we were addressing the importance of this emotion. However, I believe that now, as we are already the Advent time and pre-Christmas season, I think it's the highest time to come back to this topic, to come back to this really nice emotion, and well, to learn more about it and to learn how to cultivate it in us, right? So Andrei, the floor is yours again. Just tell me as you can and well, be ready for my questions.
All right. Self-compassion, beautiful emotion, one of those that make us feel good, even though we don't know what it is, but it sounds nice, it sounds joyful and pleasant, so it must be one of those good, positive emotions. And so, even though it makes us feel good, many people have limited understanding of what self-compassion is, and there is a lot of confusion about what self-compassion is, and that's why many people are not sure if they should self-compassion to their life and to their emotional portfolio. So before we start talking about self-compassion, I think it would make sense to explain our audience what compassion means at the first place. And so you might remember from the previous episodes of our discussions that I'm a linguist by education, so I love to play with words, and whenever I hear a word, I try to understand the origin of the word. So I looked up the origin of the word compassion, and it comes from Latin again, and it's compassion. Com stands for with. And passion, well, passion has two different meanings. Passion can be what I am passionate about, so I might have a passion for dancing, cooking, reading, studying, and so on. So that's one meaning of passion. But then there is also a religious meaning of passion. So you might have heard about the Passion of the Christ, right? So there is even a movie made by Mel Gibson, the famous movie Passion of the Christ. And so this movie is not about hobbies of Jesus Christ, it's about his suffering, right? So,
oh my God, this sounds bad.
Yes, so the passion in the religious sense of word means suffering of Jesus Christ. And so the word compassion comes from that context. So being compassionate means being with someone in their pain and in their suffering. And now let me put an emphasis on the word being with someone. So it means I am with someone in their pain and in their struggle, in their challenge. It doesn't mean I have to do something. So it's about being, not about doing. And I think this is very important to understand, that compassion is an emotion that requires our presence. Some people call it passive presence, because what happens in situation when I'm going through some struggle, I'm in pain, I have these friends around me who try to do something for me. But maybe I'm not in the moment or in the situation when I expect my friends to do something for me. I just need them to be with me in that moment. And so I just remembered, friend of mine called me a couple of days, she's sick, and she said, you know what, it's fascinating, I'm in so much pain after the surgery, and all my friends, they are calling me and they're explaining me what I need to do to feel better. So I get all these messages about doing something to get out of my sickness, but it's not what I have energy for right now. I just need my friends to be with me and with my pain.
Yeah, and it's very much like what you explained now. Let's imagine how we can get to self-compassion, in my understanding, that through your explanation, we easily understand that what is compassion, because the other person, the friend, is an outer person. However, if we put ourselves to the role of the friend, it should mean that this self-compassion, or this compassion, I should feel it towards myself. And it reminded me a nice thing that actually whatever you feel, either it's a so-called positive or so-called negative emotion, we are human beings and not human doings. So what can be your first choice is to humanly be and just be with yourself, be with your emotion, and be either with the joy and fun, but also be with the struggle or you know, the difficulties. And once you are just there for this, and you just, you know, leave space for it, and this is what mindfulness is about. Well, it beautifully can even go away, but first it should be understood that what was the mission of that certain struggle or whatever what you received into your life. So yeah, definitely it's something what's turning us towards ourselves with empathy. Can I also call it empathy? What can you maybe just relate to this? What is the difference between compassion and empathy?
Sure. Many people confuse and mix those two emotions. While empathy, well, there are different interpretations of empathy, of course. So you would find sometimes the definition of empathy, which would be identical with the definition of compassion, and the other way around. And so to me, empathy means that I don't necessarily have the same experience as you do. I don't know how it feels in the moment that you are going through, but I acknowledge your right to feel the way you do. Right? And so I remember many years ago a situation that I experienced in which I wasn't empathetic at all. And so a friend of mine, she was very, very sad. She was crying and she said, "I'm totally destroyed. My dog died." And I said, "I totally understand how you feel." And she said, "Oh, really? Did you lose your dog as well?" And I said, "Well, actually, I never had a dog." And then she said, "Then how can you say that you know how I feel? Because you don't have this experience." So empathy means that I acknowledge someone's right to feel the way they do in the situation. It doesn't mean I have to agree with their feeling. It doesn't mean I have to solve the situation for them, provide solution. It doesn't mean I have to make a statement about their feeling, right? It's not about that. Empathy means I understand, I acknowledge the right that you can feel this way in such situation, even though I don't understand that feeling because I never went through such experience. Compassion is really being with the person in their emotion. So if you go through a lot of pain, if you're struggling, I am there with you. And what compassion and empathy have in common, and they share as a similarity, is this element of not labeling your emotion, your pain. And so we are back to the topic of, and actually I
labeling or judging, sorry for this,
both to me these are two very similar terms, labeling mm-hmm. and judging, because when we put a label on someone or something, there might be our judging element in the labeling. And so emotional tagging, if you want, mm-hmm. we can call it emotional tagging. But what called my attention when you said we are human beings, not human doings, and I love that. However, in many cultures, this can be very, very difficult to accept, because even though we are human beings, there are so-called doing cultures versus being cultures. So what are being and doing cultures? In cultures where, in those being cultures, people are raised in a way that it is okay to enjoy your life. It is okay to be, enjoy the presence. It is okay to put emphasis on the quality of your well-being. And then you have countries or cultures, so-called doing cultures, where there is less emphasis on the quality of your life, but the emphasis is on your production.
Performance.
Success.
Results.
So doing-oriented cultures. Now imagine you grew up in a doing culture. It is not easy to invite a concept or emotion of compassion, not to mention self-compassion.
But it's not so hard to imagine, because I think I was raised in such a culture, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And yes, our part of the world, Central Europe, belongs, based on the cultural anthropology studies, to that part of the world that is rather doing-oriented more than being-oriented. So I can imagine that for people coming from this context, it might be not so easy to really invite actively compassion or self-compassion to their life. So that would be compassion. It's not about doing something for the others, it's being with them in their struggle, in their pain. So this is compassion. And then, so now that we understand what compassion means, it's relatively easy to understand what is self-compassion. So it means to give ourselves the permission to go through what we are going through in the situation. I need to be self-compassionate when I feel lazy in the moment. It is okay to be lazy at some point. It is okay to be sad. I give the permission to myself to be sad in this situation. Again, it might be very difficult for someone to be self-compassionate, because if you are educated and you grew up in the context where you talk about doing action and something, it means I feel sad, I need to do something in order not to be sad. So do something with your sadness. Self-compassion is an emotion that helps you to be in your moment of sadness.
This calls me for, I have so many questions in my head. I don't know whether we have enough time for all the answers. Let's see. It caused me for one thing for sure. When we were still back with talking about empathy and compassion, I also know such statements which say that empathy is actually not something what is really helpful, but in this thing I can maybe just relate why. Because the thing is that the other understanding is that actually, okay, if I feel empathy, if I use your vocabulary, if I feel empathy towards someone, it means that I acknowledge that this person can feel this way or that way, but I still say that, okay, but the responsibility for this feeling is her or his. So how this person is going to handle the emotion, it's totally his own or her own story, right? But I feel empathy. It means that, okay, I fully accept and I give you time until you deal with your emotion. However, compassion is something where I already get closer. It's like one step closer to the person, in my understanding, as you were referring to it. And that I can imagine that emotion when somebody's in deep sorrow because the person lost someone or something. So there is this compassion. But for me, as someone who strives to work on myself first and foremost, for me, I understood that sometimes even compassion, I love to get it, but really what motivates me or kicks me forward is when I don't have it. As soon as I don't have it, I am left alone. But what's beautiful in this situation, as soon as I'm left alone, I can cultivate self-compassion towards myself. And that's the moment where I open up for myself, and without self-judging, without being impatient, I just sit and listen to myself that, okay, darling, so what we have here, right? And that's the moment when I can open up and I can feel, okay, so, well, I'm sad. Oh, well, I'm super frustrated. Oh, well, what an anger do I have, right? So, well, these are human emotions. And of course, we do have them. And as soon as I name them, I surrender, I welcome them in my being, and I let them be, it's, you know, it's okay. So, because as soon as I understand it, it's liberating, I must say.
Right.
Yeah.
Well said. So you mentioned empathy and compassion again, and you made a distinction. And I think empathy is an extremely important emotion. Some people call empathy a skill, emotional competence. I tend to look at empathy as a competence as well. And I think it's an important competence to build relationships. But I would agree with you that empathy is not necessarily about understanding or being in someone's or with someone in their pain. So empathy doesn't need to be there in the moment of sorrow, pain, and struggle. Empathy is there whenever I experience difference. Okay, Evie, I see you behave differently, and without judging it, I want to understand more. So I invite my empathy as an emotion or a skill. I use empathy as a skill to learn more. Okay, tell me more about what or why are you doing what you do, right? So empathy is really instrumental for building relationships, for example, in diverse environment. But compassion really is that emotion that help us to be with someone in their dark moments, painful moments. And it's not a surprise that even psychiatrists or some psychologists, they are using compassion as a therapy method. There is a method developed by originally Hungarian psychiatrist Dr. Gabor Mate. He's Hungarian by origin. He emigrated in 1956 from Budapest to Vancouver, BC. So he spent most of his life in Vancouver in Canada, and he became family physician first, but then he moved to palliative care. He dealt with addictions and so on, and he developed a therapeutical methodology called compassionate inquiry. And so since he works mainly with addictions, his theory is when I'm healing, when I'm trying to help a person who got addicted, I don't ask the question why the addiction, but why the pain? Because addiction is a way how we deal with our pain. And for him, as the expert, as the psychiatrist, he's inviting compassion. He's using this compassion inquiry to understand why the pain that led you to addiction. And I think this is a very powerful method, this compassionate inquiry, and I'm trying to apply to the context in which I work. So, you know, I work in the field of diversity and inclusion, and so very often I come across phenomena such as racism, such as xenophobia, different phobias against different groups. And so I don't ask myself the question, why the hate? But I'm asking the question, why the fear that leads to hate? And so compassion as a strategy, as a method, as an emotion, helps me to understand why is someone in so much hate?
Yeah.
And so when we translate this concept to ourselves, self-compassion, why do we feel the way we do? We need to invite self-compassion to understand what is making us to believe this way. And it is okay. It is okay to feel the way we do right now. So that's self-compassion. But I can imagine it is very difficult for many, as we said, for cultural reasons, for example. And another cross-cultural aspect that I want to highlight here is we have individualistic culture and collectivist culture. And whenever I have conversation about self-compassion with people who come from collectivist culture, they say, well, you know, self-compassion is seen negative in our cultural context.
Selfishness, maybe.
Because it's confused with selfishness or egocentrism. And I was raised in my cultural context that I need to serve the others, I need to provide for the others, I need to be there for the others, not for myself. So self-compassion is very often confused with egocentrism or selfishness, but these are very different things.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason why actually it's not just like a coincidence that why exactly from the Asian countries Buddhism and these kind of religions are coming up, where self-confession is a base of the religion. In order to better understand yourself, you need to feel it, right? You need to be compassionate with yourself. And I guess as compassion and deep compassion can lead to deep love towards the other person, self-compassion can definitely lead to deep self-love, which is definitely a quality what can heal even the worst emotions what we might experience in our lives.
And self-love is so instrumental for one's happiness and quality of well-being. Imagine, like, many people really struggle with the concept of self-love because they think this is too egocentric. But imagine most of us have the experience of flying somewhere, right? So you are sitting on a plane and you get these security instructions, safety instructions. And one of them is when the oxygen mask goes down, first put it on yourself and then put the mask on your children or whoever is sitting next to you. So this is the same concept. You need to love yourself if you want to help the others to love them, right? So that's why many psychologists, therapists, psychiatrists, whoever is serving or helping the others, they need to be okay and safe and healed first, at first place.
Yeah. Well, so I truly believe that this podcast was triggering enough for our colleagues and everybody who listens. Maybe opens a new door to yourself. Maybe a new door, which this time goes through self-compassion and reaches love in yourself, in your heart. We all have it, so you know, if you haven't found it, it's still time to do so. And I'm very, very grateful for Andre for sharing your knowledge with us. It's even nice to talk about these things, you know. It makes me feel good. So I'm really, really grateful that you were here today, and thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you very much for inviting me again.
And well, I'm looking forward for our next podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.